All of us should desire for Jesus to hold our hands, providing us with the sense and reality of security that we need in this present world. It is a delight to be back with you this evening. The Lord has blessed us with the privilege of coming together at this time to continue and to conclude our worship service to Him on this Lord's Day. The scripture lesson was from Psalm chapter 42. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. We invite you, if you have turned away from that passage, to turn back to it again. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. And there are several corroborating and complementary scriptures that I'd like to read in addition to Psalm 42, 1 and 2. But we will be deriving our lesson from Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Also, consider Psalm 63 and verse number 1. Psalm 63 and verse number 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Also consider Psalm 84 and verse number 2. And this is the last one we'll read for now. Psalm 84 and verse number 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Thirst is a basic impulse in man. Thirst signifies that dehydration has begun to set in one's body. Thirst signifies that in order for one to maintain a good condition of health and even survive, that hydration or water is necessary. None of us could live for very long without drinking water. individuals can live for a number of days or several weeks without food, but only a very few days ordinarily without life-giving, life-sustaining water. The psalmist here expresses thirst of a spiritual nature, comparing it to physical thirst. He expresses a great desire for God that unfortunately is not the usual situation with most people today. The psalmist in this passage compares his desire for God to the deer. That's what hart, H-A-R-T, means in our verse. A deer who is very thirsty for water. From this verse, this passage, we are told of a special kind of thirst. We are told of a vigorous thirst, a virtuous thirst, and a valuable thirst. When we think about thirst in the sense that it's used in this passage, it is to crave vehemently and urgently. It bespeaks of strong desire, a yearning, a craving, a longing, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Anybody ever been real thirsty? Anybody has ever just longed for some water? Anybody had a strong craving for water? An urgent desire for water when you were very, very thirsty. A lot of times after working, especially in the hot summer sun, for a protracted period of time, and having begun to experience dehydration due to the loss of moisture through the process of sweating, you have a strong longing, a vigorous desire for refreshing and revitalizing water. The word translated panteth means to have a great longing for something to the extent that it cries out for it. This said that the deer had a very vigorous thirst in this passage for water. The psalmist says that his thirst is like that for God. He's saying that his thirst is analogous to the thirst of the deer who is panting for water. Some of you might have seen farm animals. You might have seen an actual deer who was so thirsty, he was panting. And sometimes their mouths are open and their tongues are hanging out. And they are craving some water. He longed greatly for God. Now, if we had a thirst like that, a thirst like the psalmist experienced, a thirst analogous to the vigorous thirst that was experienced by the dehydrated deer or hart, it would really improve our spiritual lives considerably. If we had a thirst like this, it would really improve our Bible study. We wouldn't have to worry about people reading and studying their Bibles in private devotionals. We wouldn't have to worry about folks attending Bible classes. We wouldn't have to worry about folks attending worship service if they had this kind of thirst. And this is the kind of thirst also associated with hunger that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 5 and verse 6 in the Sermon on the Mount as one of the Beatitudes. He says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That spiritual thirst cannot be satisfied with material things. That spiritual thirst cannot be satisfied with the vain philosophies and prognostications of mere men. It can't be satisfied by carnal and worldly things. It can only be satisfied by God and God's divine word. If we had the kind of thirst that is described in verse number 1 of Psalm 42, we wouldn't have to worry about our prayer life. There would not be a paucity of praying if we really had a vigorous thirst for the spiritual thing of God. You know, people would pray not just when they get ready to eat. People would pray not just when they were in trouble. People would pray not just when they get ready to retire to bed at night, but people would be in a constant mode for praying and would pray quite frequently, in keeping with 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, where we admonish to pray without ceasing. And Jesus, in Luke 18 and verse 1, he told a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not faint. When you have that kind of spiritual thirst, it motivates you to pray on a continual basis, because you are craving, you are longing for, you are yearning for a meaningful, sustained relationship with God. Unfortunately, few people today have much true interest in spiritual matters. Even the thirst of some in the body of Christ is dull and lackadaisical, characterized by a spirit of apathy and indifference. People seem to have lost their appetite for spiritual things and lost their desire for spiritual things. But we need to have that vigorous thirst that is depicted in this passage. Not only do we see a vigorous thirst in this passage, but we also see a virtuous thirst. Notice the expression, "as a hart panteth after the water." The deer in this verse thirsted after water. That is a legitimate thirst. Water is not evil. But so many thirsts today are not for water, but are thirst for the forbidden. Folk have a very great thirst, a craving, a yearning, a hunger, a vigorous and urgent desire for things that are wrong rather than things that are spiritual. People have a thirst for carnal and worldly things rather than spiritual and godly things. People have a great thirst for booze and for drugs and for the lust of the flesh, for money and fame and power and pleasure. They have a thirst for things that God does not want them to have. They have a thirst for things that will corrupt and destroy. But they are not thirsting for the virtuous. They are not thirsting for Bible knowledge. They are not thirsting for spiritual growth. They are not thirsting for spiritual fellowship with God. They don't have a craving for the return of Christ. They don't have a vigorous, urgent, strong yearning for heaven. They don't have that kind of desire because oftentimes they are too much in love with the world. Be careful about your thirsts. It is so easy in this age of corruption to develop jaded appetites and unholy thirsts for things that are not of God. Cultivate a thirst for God. No thirst is more virtuous than a thirst for God. Sprite has been featuring a commercial that some of you probably have seen. And that commercial actually urges in promoting the soft drink Sprite. That commercial says, obey your thirst. It is saying your thirst, your craving, your yearning, your passionate desire should be obeyed and should not be denied. And you should not satisfy your thirst for a soft drink by drinking Coke or by drinking Diet Pepsi or by drinking Dr. Pepper or by drinking a Royal Crown Cola or by drinking a knee-high orange. They're saying, obey your thirst, give in to your thirst, and satisfy your craving for Sprite. I say, obey your thirst and satisfy your need, satisfy your desire, satisfy your yearning, satisfy your craving with the Word of God and the pursuit of things that are righteous, pursuit of things that are spiritual. Obey your thirst, not for worldly things. Obey your thirst, not for material things. Obey your thirst, not for carnal things, but obey your thirst for the Word of God. The Bible says, this is Jesus talking in John 7 and verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus can satisfy our thirst like nobody else can. What are you thirsty for? What do you desire most? What are you craving for? What are you yearning for? Are you yearning for making more money? Are you yearning for enjoying greater pleasure? Are you yearning for illicit sexual activity? Are you yearning for involvement in the world? Are you yearning for more partying and more drinking and more drugging? What are you yearning for? What are you thirsty for? We need a vigorous thirst for virtuous things. But not only do we need a vigorous thirst and a virtuous thirst, we need a valuable thirst. What was the heart thirsty for? He was thirsty for water. You know, when I'm real thirsty, I don't want no Sprite. When I'm real thirsty, I don't want no OJ. When I'm real thirsty, I don't want no Coke. When I'm real thirsty, I don't want no iced tea or no fruit tea. When I'm real thirsty, don't pass me no beer. When I'm real thirsty, don't give me a wine cooler. When I'm real thirsty, don't give me a cocktail. When I'm real thirsty, don't give me no Kool-Aid. What I want when I'm real thirsty, Clifford, give me some good old refreshing, pure, unadulterated, cold ice water. That's what I want. And in reality, other liquids and other beverages cannot slake your thirst and satisfy the longing of the body. You know, a lot of the things that people crave are like seawater, salt water. The more you drink, the more you want to drink. And the more you drink, the more damage you do to your body, the more damage you do to your health. And a lot of things that folk are craving, a lot of things folks are thirsting for, damages, corrupts, and destroys. How is your thirst? How is your appetite? You know, one of the signs of a person who is sick, when they lose their appetite, when they lose the desire for food. And you're in real trouble when you lose your desire for liquid water. You can't long survive without it. The thirst for water was a very valuable thirst. It was a thirst that would bring life instead of death. So it is with the spiritual thirst for God. It is the difference between life and death spiritually. No thirst is more valuable than a thirst for God, a thirst for spiritual things. If you do not thirst for God in this life, you will be without God in the next life, which means that you will suffer eternal condemnation forever. And there you will thirst forever, but to no avail. Have you ever thought about what it will be like in torment? Have you ever thought about what it would be like for us to spend eternity, or for anybody to spend eternity in a place water, you will just be in a perpetual state of thirst. You remember the rich man, and we'll be studying about the rich man, I believe, in our last lesson on Sunday mornings, the last Lord's Day of this quarter. But the rich man cried out for help. He said, Father Abraham, he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and bring it to me. I am tormented in this flame. He said, I'm craving, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsting. I am in torment, in hell. He lifted up his eyes in torment. But Lazarus could not go to the compartment where the rich man was and could offer him no relief. The rich man craved something spiritual. He craved a knowledge of God. He craved, desiring that Lazarus be sent back to the earth to warn his brothers not to come to that place. But that was not to happen. Despite his perpetual thirst, his perpetual desire for relief, his perpetual desire for a second chance, his perpetual desire for things that were spiritual, there was no relief available to him. See, the time to be thirsty for good things and righteous things, the time to be to experience a vigorous thirst, and the time to experience a virtuous thirst, and the time to experience a valuable thirst is in this world. Because it can't be satisfied no matter how much you desire, no matter how much you crave, no matter how much you yearn for, no matter how vigorously you passionately desire refreshment in the next world. There'll be no satisfaction for you. I trust that you will allow God to help cultivate a proper thirst in your life today. Remember, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're craving a renewed relationship with the Lord this evening, if you are craving a right relationship with God, if you're thirsty for spiritual things, if you're thirsty for a proper and meaningful fellowship with God, if you're thirsting for spiritual growth and development, there are some steps you can take this evening. If you want to be born anew, you can be born anew. That's what you're craving. That's what you're thirsting for through obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you want to be reinstated, restored to your proper place in God's family, that's something that you can experience this evening. If you have that craving, that yearning, that desire to have your relationship with God righted as a Christian in error, you can do that through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're not a Christian and yearn to become a Christian and yearn for a new beginning, yearn for a new life, have a craving for a better life by obeying the gospel, hearing it, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You can obey your thirst for God as we together stand and as we sing.
God is calling, the prodigal come without delay. Hear, oh, hear him calling. Calling now for thee. though you've wandered so far from his presence, come today. Here is loving voice calling still.